Last week, a coalition of advocates gathered to start planning a constitutional amendment to reform redistricting. Let's back up. In 2010, the conservative Karl Rove took to the Wall Street Journal and laid out a Republican plan to win majorities in state legislatures in which lawmakers drew up voting districts instead of outside commissions doing it. He made no secret of the goal. He who controls redistricting can control Congress. Why was 2010 important? Well, every state redraws its voting maps according to the new census every 10 years. Capture the legislatures, they redraw the maps, they get seats. The plan worked. Today, Republicans have a majority in nearly two-thirds of the country's state legislatures. For instance, in 2012, Democratic House candidates won 51% of the votes in Pennsylvania, and those candidates only ended up with 28% of the seats in the legislature. They were, let's just say, they were screwed. We can't really say what it's called in political circles, and we can't say the name of the book that details how this happened. We'll just say they were rat bleeped. Dave Daly is editor-in-chief of Salon.com and author of Rat Bleeped, the true story behind the secret plan to steal America's democracy. We talked to him last week and started by asking about how gerrymandering, redrawing electoral districts to favor one party, was refined by Republicans.
Gerrymandering is the word that put us all to sleep in eighth grade civics class, but it is the most important factor in the building blocks of our democracy, which is how the lines are drawn in our legislative districts. Politicians of both sides do it in order to get revenge on an enemy, maybe steal a seat here and there where they didn't deserve it. Gerrymandering changes in 2010. What the Republicans hit upon is a brilliant new plan to put gerrymandering on steroids and build themselves a voter-proof firewall. And it holds up in 2012, as you said.
It also holds up for 10 years because it'll hold up more than likely until the next census and the next redistricting based on those census numbers, which is why you say years ending in zero are so important. And this will happen in 2010. So let's back up. A guy named Chris Jankowski, a consultant, he comes up with something called the Red Map Project. What was that?
The Democrats clean the Republicans' clocks in 2008. Republicans get a depressed. And yet one day, Chris Jankowski is reading a story in the New York Times, and he realizes, wait, 2010 is a zero year. My party is on the out now, but historically, the party on the out always does better in the midterm elections. And Jankowski is a state government guy. He runs something called the Republican State Leadership Committee. So he understands how redistricting works at the state level. And what he also understands is that there are 18 state legislative chambers in the country that the margin of control is so close that it's four votes or fewer. Mm. So he says, hey, it wouldn't cost me a whole lot of money to try to flip four or five legislative districts in these states. So they go into Pennsylvania.
Now take Pennsylvania. Talk about there's a guy now, you know, sitting at a convenience store who was in the state house for decades and he didn't know what hit him in 2010. Tell the story.
Had no idea. And what hit him was Red Map. The control of the Pennsylvania House was basically one seat at this point in time. It was something like 102, 101. It was very, very close.
With the Democrats controlling.
The Democrats had control. Mm-hmm. It looks like a normal campaign to David Levdansky. He's been in office 13 terms. And suddenly, hundreds of thousands of dollars of negative ads come pouring down on him
more
in this small district outside of Pittsburgh.
It
swamps his budget. It's too late for him to do anything about it. And most of these ads are just absolute exaggerated nonsense.
Well, they said that he wanted to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on a library for Arlen Specter.
Yes. And actually, there was about $1 million in a $600 million capital budget that Levdansky voted on that would have gone to a place
to store the
papers of Arlen Specter, who had been in office in the state for 30 years. But they focus group that charge. And it works so well that they send down a couple hundred thousand dollars of mailers and negative ads on Levdansky, all of it hitting in the last 3 weeks of the campaign. Every single day he pulls his pickup truck up to his house, opens up his mailbox, and there's a full-color mailer excoriating him. And he looks at this stuff. I sat down in his house and he said, I wouldn't have voted for me either if I'd seen all of this. The Democrats lose the Pennsylvania House. They lose the governor's race that year, and they do not have a seat at the table when it comes to redistricting. So the maps that the Republicans draw in 2011 are watertight, and they hold up in 2012.
Well, hold on a second, because I want to talk about, you know, remind people what you can do when you draw a map.
Yes.
But we know all of this, that this happened, this red map project, because Chris Jankowski told you.
I mean, the Republicans are happy to talk about it now. They
proud
feel
of it.
Like they
yeah.
simply did their jobs, and they yeah. did their jobs better than the Democrats. And it's true, they did. The Republicans spent $30 million on this. And they were able to build themselves a firewall on a full chamber of Congress for a decade for less than the price of a losing Senate race in a small state.
So they got to, in the states that they targeted, they got to redraw the congressional maps. Now talk for a little bit about this. In the South, for instance, gerrymandering at one time also had an awful history. It was a way of keeping blacks out of certain school districts, out of certain, you know, voting districts. In this case, the Republicans figured out, wait a second, we should make this be a positive for African Americans because what? They drew the districts so that they clustered all the Democrats around African American communities?
Yes. The first piece of what the Republicans do with the gerrymander essentially happens in the 1990s, and this is when they use the Voting Rights Act to create majority-minority seats in southern states. The only way to do that in many of these states is to pack as many Democratic voters as you can into one district.
Yeah.
So these districts do elect African Americans to Congress. And what you see starting in the mid-1990s is the highest level of African American representation in Congress of any time since Reconstruction. But it also has another impact. It turns all of the other neighboring districts more Republican.
Mm-hmm. So, look, there have been a lot of movements that, you know, someone might say, well, the Republicans might have had these big wins anyway.
I don't have any problem with the Republicans winning when they win. The problem comes in when you have states like Pennsylvania, in which Democrats get more votes and Republicans take 13 of the 18 seats, or a state like Ohio, which is the bellwether state that keeps us all up on election night, a 50-50 state, Republicans have 12 of the 16 seats. So this is about being sure that elections matter and that the side that gets the most votes wins. And this is the difference between the gerrymander that happens in 2010 and any other gerrymander.
And by the way, that means in turn that all the policy that's set by the legislature doesn't match what the people voted. Look, again,
you see this now. I mean, you look at the transgender bathroom bill in North Carolina. That is going through a gerrymandered state legislature. You look at the emergency manager bill in Flint, which the people of Michigan voted down in a referendum, but the gerrymandered state legislature puts back in.
And right now you have districts. We'll put some on the website. One of them looks like what, Daffy Duck punching Goofy?
Yes. I mean, that's Pennsylvania's 7th. It's an unbelievable district. Take a look at it.
They look ridiculous the way the contortions people go through.
It's not simply that they look ridiculous. It's that the technology is so good right now that every single one of those ridiculous turns actually means something. They're all there for a reason. I got out and drove a lot of these districts, and you go turn by turn, and these districts contort and gyrate so wildly because they're trying to grab a few voters here and a few voters
right.
there. And that has an impact on every surrounding district.
So should the Democrats do that too?
Well,
in 2020?
No, I don't think that's good governing. What the Democrats are doing right now is they're putting a lot of money, $75 million, into something called Advantage 2020, which is their version of Red Map. The Republicans said, yeah, that's great. We're going to do Red Map too. We've got $125 million lined up for it. So the Democrats are going to have to compete with less money. There's not going to be the element of surprise that the Republicans had mm-hmm. in 2010. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, the Democrats still have to win on these incredibly tilted maps, which is very, very difficult.
In order to have the legislatures
yeah.
be able to do this. What about an across the board, and I don't know how it happens, but forget legislatures doing this. It has to be these outside commissions. It can't be partisan groups.
I think you're absolutely right. We are the only democracy in the world that allows the politicians to draw their own lines and essentially choose their own voters. When a nonpartisan commission is on the ballot, whether this is a red state or a blue state or a purple state, in Ohio, Arizona, Florida, California, they always say, yes, we want to take this out of the hands of the politicians. But the politicians, because they understand how important it is, are really reluctant to let go of this power. And even sometimes in states where nonpartisan commissions have been put into place, the politicians have found a way to worm their way into them.
Dave Daly, author of the book, that book there, The True Story Behind the Secret Plan to Steal America's Democracy. He's also editor-in-chief at Salon. Thanks so much.
A real pleasure. Thank you.